Ezekiel 43, verse 7, or verse 5, "So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the esteem of Yahweh filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of the Hebrews forever. And my separated name shall the house of the Hebrews no more defile." That's no more defile. "Neither they nor their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. In their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my pure name, my separated name, by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredoms and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell, and I will tabernacle in the midst of them forever." Reading in Ezekiel chapter 43 at verse 10. "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of the Hebrews, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the Torah thereof. Write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them." Well, we have those in the scriptures who acknowledge their problems, and yet they published it right there in the Word. You know, what other book, or rather, what religion would admit their faults? But yet, the book of Yahweh, from Genesis to Revelation, admits the faults of those they themselves were guilty of. Abraham, Moses wrote of those, and of course Adam and his posterity, beginning with Adam there. We have King David, with the adultery and the murdering that went on during the first part of his dynasty until he repented. We have the 12 emissaries, commonly called apostles, and their weaknesses are being, you know, they themselves pointed that out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yet they published it for all to read, even Paul. Yes, and he told us exactly what we should or should not do. And people these days would accuse Paul and Moses, Messiah, Abraham, of having control issues just because they were defining right and wrong by the Torah. Thank you, Yahweh, for this broadcast today. And in these days of ecumenicalism, where we have been encouraged to unite with anyone, with any religion, no matter what they think, no matter what gods that they praise or worship, we're supposedly supposed to unite with them so that Yahweh can come back. That is absurd. That's contrary to the Word. Be separate from the world's religions and from the huge conglomerates out there, the World Council of Churches, the National Council, that are actually doing so much damage in many countries that we don't even normally hear about. Now, we ourselves are not the only ones who have the truth. We are still studying and still, as a student of Yahweh, trying to grow and press on, try to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, because the majority is not always right. Neither is the minority necessarily always right, but what is right is the truth, and thy word is truth, Yahweh said. We need to study the Word. Who has heard his word? You know, what is true shalom? It's by following Yahweh, by repenting from our adultery or spiritual adultery or fornication. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Whether or not I've read this before, let's do it again now, please. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, of armies, that is, "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say still unto them that despise me, Yahweh has said thus, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. It sounds like the first preacher down there in the Garden of Eden, Satan, who said that. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh, and who has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? And that's a good question. You know, in my scripture, just about 50% or so is underlined. But we really want to mark and note in our hearts and in our minds what his word says. What are the specifics about our behavior before Yahweh? Jeremiah 23:27. They think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. For Baal. Look up the word Baal. It means Lord. And here yet they're substituting in all scripture versions for Yahweh's name. They're substituting L-O-R-D or G-O-D. Verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that seal my words. Everyone from his neighbor. Yes, it's even stealing, not only perverting. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith Yahweh, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Sure, a little triviality, a little humor now and then may not hurt, but why does it always have to be a time of lightness? You know, the majority of time it doesn't. It really should be more a time of being serious. Yahweh says, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith Yahweh. Our culture has gone to pot. People are spending hours on end, you know, watching this or that, or sports 40 hours a month when we should be reading the word, at least reading it, if not studying it, 40 hours a month or so, and that's, just an hour a day, hour or so a day. And consider the essentials, the evidence of being a believer. What is the evidence? Not going down to the church and playing social club, but being fundamental in his word, being unleavened, not having this crazy wildfire dancing around, prancing around, so silly, and pretending that the Holy Ghost is all over us. Come on now, let's grow up and mature a little bit, friends. Let's get unleavened, get the pride out. You know, we say, oh no, I'm not doing that, I'm being spiritual, but if it walks like a duck, and it acts like a duck, it talks like a duck, then it is a duck. So get rid of the lies, the distortion, the death tonight. And talk with the one who will hold us accountable, who will give us his word, the truth, if we pick it up. What is faith? It's by reading and hearing the word of Yahweh, reading Genesis to Revelation. Particularly, I'd recommend Isaiah, Jeremiah, the book of John, and the newer renewed scriptures. And incidentally, while you're sitting there and listening to that preacher, you shouldn't be twittering away and texting and allowing them to play rock and roll in the church. Rock and roll means backseat sex. What is the standard for our righteousness? What is the norm for behavior for those who are saved? Call them what you want, but what is the norm? It is for those who follow in the way of righteousness, in the way of truth, for those who follow his Torah, his law, that is defined in namely in Genesis through Deuteronomy, but throughout, all the way through the book of the Revelation. Let us live by the Spirit and the law. And then we want to go to Malachi 4. We'll do that right near the end. Okay, that'd be better. And then on this idea about interpretation, that we've had ministers from the Church of God who have told us over and over and over for years that it's up to them to interpret the scriptures for us, because they are, you know, students and theologians, and they've studied it a long, long time, and they've, you know, hopefully been blessed by our Creator. They've been inspired by the Spirit. And on the other hand, we have not. And so they tell us that you cannot interpret the scriptures for yourself. Well, the scriptures interpret themselves, as we read, for example, about immersion, about baptism in the book of Romans. And we go to the next place in the scripture where it talks about baptism, where it talks about that next subject. And, you know, you can go to Peter then, or back to John. You actually should start out talking about immersion. Start out in the older scriptures, commonly called in the Old Testament. Start out there reading about that, and then continue on reading, you know, through Romans, through I think it's 1 Peter, and correct me if it might be 2 Peter, but just read everything there is on that particular subject that you can over a period of time. You know, you can't just sit down and digest everything in 2 minutes. There's got to be a little work involved there. It's going to be a pleasure, a blessing, and the interpretation will be up to our to the Word. The Word will interpret itself. The words are mostly self-explanatory. Now and then you'll have to look up something in Strong's so-called Bible concordance or a lexicon, and go on the internet and put in the E. Matthew 28, verse 1, as we knew from Matthew 12 that Yahweh would be in the grave after his death for 3 days and three nights and 3 days. So on the third day, or at the end of the third day, here we see in Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to, it says dawn in the King James, see the Barry's Greek interlinear, or, you know, just look it up in other sources, but as it began to grow dusk would be the correct wording there. And, you know, if you don't have to take my word, but anyway, I've looked it up in Barry's and many other places. Began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week. When does the first day of the week start? According to Yahweh's scriptural time and calendar, it starts at even, not at 12 o'clock in the middle of the night. Not and on Roman time, but on his time, when the sun goes down, that's when the day starts, even though it would seem, you know, why wouldn't it start when the sun comes up or something, sunrise, but it doesn't. No, it's when the sun goes down. So once again, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and behold, to summarize it, they did not find Messiah's body there. He was already gone. He was already gone to the Father, and he had risen from the grave after that 3 days and three nights. So Matthew 12:38 was the other reference, and then Matthew 28:1, and then there's a couple of other references, the importance there of the preparation day before a Sabbath, which was a high day, a preparation day before the seventh-day Sabbath, and so on of that particular year. The resurrection day is not keyed to a day of the week, but a date of the month. The date of Messiah's death, we know, is on Aviv 14. So just count three. What would that be? Well, do the math, right? It would be the 17th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. So from the 14th to the 15th to the 16th to the 17th. So he died at the end of the 14th of Aviv, and he rose from the grave at the end of the 17th, which for that particular year would have been sundown after the Sabbath day, going into the first day of the week. And no prophecy of Scripture has ever changed or speculated or told us clearly or indirectly in any way that the Sabbath day would be changed, or that it would be changed by the Messiah's resurrection day or date. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. This does sound like judgment. Well, it is. And all the proud, yes, and all they that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, not substitute name, not, just fear in the context of recognizing him or something, but fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That was a messianic prophecy right there in Malachi 4:2. And you shall tread down the wicked, you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Also see, for cross-reference, over in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 18. And then the key verse here that I wanted to bring out again is verse 4. Remember, not forget. Remember as we go into the New Testament, and the next page. Remember you the law, or the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him. So here specifically, in Horeb, specifically, you know, the Ten Commandments that were given, along with the statutes, judgments. For all the Hebrews, the statutes and judgments. It says right there, the word with, W-Y-T-H, was added. You can tell that because in the King James, at least, it's written in italics, showing that it was just an added word to help us understand the sentence. But yeah, I think it's better without it. Remember the law of Moses, my servants, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all the people of the Hebrews, the statutes and judgments. Also see Galatians 6:16. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, with utter destruction. And he is bringing us healing. Remember, he is bringing us mercy. Trust in our Savior, Yahweh HaMashiach. Hallel Yahweh, Maranatha. And Shalom.